What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Panels on Pages. Today we're having a special somewhat tangents episode of this because Panels on Pages, I don't know if it can be read back there, is meant to be a podcast about comic books and all related media. And I still count this gentleman as someone within that related media because I found you in search of comic book shit. Like, I was on Instagram and I was looking for dope art and I saw your cover and I was like, this is fucking awesome. And then we ended up meeting on at Virtuous Con and just fucking awesome conversation had. And I jumped on your book right away. Brian D. Covington, how are you doing, sir?
And I'm doing well. I can't complain. Constantly busy, but that's a good thing, right?
That is the best thing. That is the absolute best thing. But we were just saying, like, it's hard to get writing done or reading done, really, when you have writing to do, right? When you are in that zone and you're like, I'm creating my shit. It's like, oh, I want to read this. Like, I'm back in, you know, 6-7 Kickstarters. It's like, when am I going to read them? Who knows?
Dude, I wish I had more time. That's why I've been trying to work that into what it is that I do. So in most cases, whenever I do a video, I'm talking about somebody else's stuff. And it's because I want to help get them out there. I've got a little bit of a platform. So I'm like, why not help get other people in front of those viewers who are looking for this stuff?
For sure.
That's one of the things that I like to do. And comics are a quick read. So I can knock out a comic, do a video, and get back to writing versus consuming a whole novel, you know?
That's why I jumped on your book, because you had that audio. I was like, oh, audiobook, hell yes. And then for yours, and I have never actually seen this happen before, but for yours, when I bought something, like when I bought the audiobook, it was like, hey, do you want a discount on the Kindle version? And I was like, fuck it, I'll get the Kindle copy too, then I can read along. And that came in handy, because then I was like, wait, where am I in the story? And then I was like, did I hear that correctly? So then I just like quickly paged through. I was like, no, yeah, I heard that correctly. So it was like, it was kind of just like a bonus. I was able to just like double check without having to rewind.
Yeah, man. I mean, I try my best to get it out there to the people, however they can consume it. And I know a lot of people can't sit down and read a lot of times, but they can listen, you know.
For sure.
Be it a long trip or be it laundry, whatever, you know.
I got a buddy at work who's got a headphone in at all times. He's cranking through audiobooks. I've recommended yours. I've recommended the other one that I read that was like really kind of eye-opening as far as like a different style of storytelling, really. Iron Widow, just what a fantastic fucking book. And I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for 2050Z to get on audio. I might even just like re-listen to it.
man, Jason Primrose, that's the author, but that guy, he's not just going to put out an audio book.
No. If I was to guess, I don't know anything yet, but mm-hmm. if I was to guess, he's going to go the dramatization route. He's going to go with the full ambient sounds. You know, I've been seeing some of the like animations he's putting out for his universe. And I'm really, as soon as I saw those, I was like, oh man, this would be a dope show. And then I'm like, can we get a TV series out this bitch? Like,
there's so much of it out there, and I've actually heard some of the dramatization and the characters and the people that he's got doing the voices. I'm like, man, I can't wait for this to come out, because I want to get the story in. I just don't have time to sit and read it, but if I could sit while I'm doing some artwork and listen, that would be dope. For sure.
If you listen, I'm gonna give you a recommendation, because it's a complete story. So it's something that's done. Like once you listen to it, it's done. It's not something that you gotta, you know, wait for other volumes or whatever. It's a podcast called Vast Horizon. And this is funny, because this is also like a comic book tangential thing, because I met the crew at a convention. They were pimping the first thing that they did, the first podcast, and then the graphic novel series called Liberty. And then they just went into the audio drama universe. They've made like 5 or 6 different audio dramas. They worked with fucking Jeff Goldblum. Like,
oh man,
yeah, it's like they went big, but it's funny because they went big, but they still work out of a fucking closet. You know what I mean? Like, like they went big in all the right ways. You know what I mean?
Got to keep your copy overhead low. That way you can spend it in other places.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so like it's a super, super fucking good listen. I can't even give you any of the details besides like the literal opening. And it's a scientist jumps on this colony ship to go off to like the next big, you know, colony world. And that's all I can tell you without ruining anything else. It's a great story. But yeah, like that's the kind of thing. Like, and that's a full produce, that kind of thing. And I fell in love with that format through their stuff. So like now I'm going in and I'm like catching up on certain series of books that I had started, you know, years ago. And I find, oh, they've got a dramatization series of audiobooks. Oh, maybe I just want to re-listen to that whole thing within that sphere. Like, so I'm using up my my Audible credits all day, every day.
Yeah, that's what they're there for, man.
What is the next volume of Between Magic and Dreams? I kept fucking that up. I was typing it to somebody and I kept fucking it up because I was saying something else. I forget what it was because I finally fixed it. But I kept fucking it up, but I would look at it. I was like, why doesn't this look right?
Yo, you should hear the names that I get called when I'm like on Instagram, man. One I hear the most is Between Mission. What was it? Yeah, Between Magician Dreams. I was like, that's a lot of extra work to say it wrong. You know,
that seems like it could be a series, but I feel like it'd be a different genre, let's just say.
That'll be the spinoff.
When's the next volume coming to audiobook? I can't wait to jump into more of this.
Well, the gentleman that's working on it, that's Kenneth Toles Jr. His work is great. His voice is perfect for it. And I got him on for the second one as well. And that's currently in progress. So Hopefully within the next month or so, I've already heard a couple of chapters. Loving it, you know. So I'm excited for it, but there's all kinds of life stuff going on. And as I'm sure you know, there's all kinds of things that slow the process down. But one of the things that I want to do above all else is keep my momentum, you know?
So that's super important.
Yeah, I want to make sure everything is there. There's content rolling, there's content in the wings, there's content hidden in other places.
And you know what? That means you thought about it. That means you thought about the whole process and where it's going, as opposed to just like, I have this now. Now what? You know?
Dude, I've got a lot of ideas and a couple of things in the works. One that I want to mention on here, it'd be pretty exclusive because I think the only other people that know about it are locals.
Okay.
When I do local signings, you know. So yeah, I'll show you a little something by the end of the cast here.
Awesome. Appreciate that. I wanted to ask you one thing that just popped into my head right before we jumped on here. Do you think, like, have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
At which point did Frodo, or anyone for that matter, take a shit? No heroes ever go to the bathroom. So once in a while, you get someone take a piss. But like they walked across the whole universe in that story. Not one of them took a shit.
I think for some reason, a lot of people just don't see heroes taking dumps. Man. I tried to put it in there a little bit because I'm like, come on, man.
Because at the beginning, Quinn jumped in the shower. And that's I was like, wow, like that's usually not in a story.
I mean, if you're going to see yourself in a superhero or in a protagonist or any other character in the story, you have to kind of put those things in there that are universal to help you connect. And taking the pitch is just one of those things.
Absolutely. It just like little stuff, that lets you just connect. Like you said, I read that and I was like, wow. And then I thought about it. I'm like, I don't think Superman ever been in a shower. There was that one scene in Batman v Superman? She pulled him into the tub. And I was like, but he wasn't even trying to take a shower or take a bath. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's probably upset.
It was like my clothes, you know, I just put these on. What the hell?
Like, we can just assume that it all happens off camera.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like I was thinking about it. There was a scene. Oh my goodness, this was a couple years ago, and it was an Avengers book, And it was somebody was like an alien or something. And he was like, you know, had a pretend life and had a wife and everything. And he jumps in the toilet because that's where his stash is, all his guns and everything. And you just hear his wife yelling through the door, "What are you doing there for so long?" I'm like, "That's my life." What are you doing there for so long?
Dude, I'm glad it's not just me. Dude, it's the throne room. All my super awesome thoughts occur in there when I'm just relaxing, letting nature take its course, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to force that kind of stuff. It's bad for your eyes, I hear.
But yeah, I want to ask you, when did you come up with this story? How long did it take you to go from like initial concept to something you could present to people, you know, for beta readers or something like that?
Oh man. Oh, so Between Magic and Dreams is a story that's been in my head for well over a decade. I mean, it was before I met the missus, and as of Saturday, we've been married for 16 years. So it's
that's cool.
Yeah, man, I love it. It doesn't seem like it, but yeah, that means that it's been almost 20 years before I was able to actually get this thing going, because when I had the idea, I had just graduated from college, and it was like, oh man, now I got these bills, and then you had the apartment. So I was like, okay, let me take care of these bills. Let me get these apartment things going, and then I can do this. And it kept sitting on the back burner. And I went as far as getting a great friend of mine, and I credited her in the book, Jenshin Osman. Her artwork is phenomenal. And I was like, you know what? I just want you to write the title out in your style. And anything that's attached to the book has to be as dope as that. And she didn't make it easy. So from there, man, it just kind of sat, because life. And I just kind of wrote my notes, kept ideas, but I didn't write anything as far as like chunks of the story out. But in 2019, this guy, Manuel Godoy at Black Sands,
yeah,
he just threw this free course on YouTube, and it's still there. And I met him, it was at a Dragon Con. He was like, yo, I'm gonna do this class, just sign up. And, you know, just start, just make sure you do the work. I was like, okay. So within 3 months, it was, the first month was just kind of learning stuff. But then after that, it was grind. So two to 3 months it took to actually write the book.
Oh, wow.
But it flew, because everybody was already there, right? All the characters were there. They all had their backstories, and they were all eager to get on the page and share their journey with everybody. So, I mean, in essence, man, I guess I can say maybe 15, 20 years is sat there. But there's so much to it now because I have all these characters, and in some ways they're attached and in other ways they're not. There's so much. And have you read the second one yet?
No.
All right.
I'm in that audio space now. I got to wait for the audio.
Good. But dude, there's so much that can happen, and it's all based on genuine what ifs, and then the facts too that we don't know as much as we think we know. And once you start thinking that something can't happen, that's when you're lost. Your hubris has taken over, and you've closed the door to possibility.
Right.
But imagine if all the things that you can think of had a way of happening, and in a reasonable fashion. We just haven't figured it out yet. You know, all these things happen between Magic and Dreams. And I want to show the steps of that throughout the series. So if by the third book, people grasp on and it starts going somewhere, there's two different directions I can go, because I have two different stories that I want to tell after this.
All right.
They're still connected.
Is this going to be a trilogy? And then you're saying you've got, depending on what people are into, or kind of like you could just go see, like that's the kind of process that I like to know about. I always wonder, how people get stuff on paper. Because I actually finished my first novella this year, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. Like, it was such a great feeling, but it felt like it was the most, just the most work I could have possibly done for anything. Because I went into it with like literally the broadest idea you could, right? I was like, dude, didn't have a name. Dude is gonna go and research, because it's set in this world of this comic book series, which like I have the first six issues scripted. Like I have that world so built up, but this is like a hella prequel. Like this probably takes place roughly 10 years beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was like, dude, don't know what he is. Don't know what his personality or job is. I have no idea who this dude is. Goes and like investigates this for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. So when I sat down to write the first chapter, everything was new. Everything was new. And it felt like it was just taking forever. And I did five chapters across the five issues, the first five issues of the magazine, or two through six actually, of the magazine Catalyst, mm-hmm. that we featured you in. And when I finished that fifth chapter, and I put the, you know, the end .. question mark, I was like, holy shit. And it was like all this shit happened in the story that I had no plans. I didn't plan to have any kind of romantic subplot. Happened. It just, as I'm writing, I was like, oh, this would be interesting if it just goes in this direction. Boom. Romantic subplot. Like romantic subplot out of fucking nowhere. And it was like, one of the characters is non-binary. Why? Because when I created them, they didn't have an identity, like as far as like me creating a character in any fleshed out manner. I was like, this dude is going to have a contact in Brazil. And I even had him refer to them as them in the chapter. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, why can't we just go that way? Let's just go all the way into that. So then it just became like, it just became very interesting to just kind of, this story wrote itself is the way I kind of saw it. Right. I was just the one typing. Like
when it's organic like that, it flows so much better. Right. A lot of people try to force something to happen within the story. It's, and when the characters themselves don't want to go that way, the reader feels it.
Yeah.
We know you forced that in there. You know, I mean, I organically just let it flow. You did great, man.
I love it. We went into editing, and so that was the funny thing is I had this like epiphany, because before I finished that, I had this like, I don't know, I had this like really, I've got a problem where when I come up with something, I start with like the biggest macro version of that. So like the magazine originally, when I came up with it, the Catalyst magazine was it. Do you know what Steam is? You play games?
Yeah.
So it was Steam for indie shit, and not just comics, and not just stories, but music and game. Like it was going to be the indie Steam. Like it was all of it. That's where I started. So it took me like almost a decade to pare it down to something that I could do now that wouldn't take like, I don't know, $500,000 of investment out the gate.
A whole squad of people.
Yeah. Dozens of people, of programmers and designers and all this stuff. And I was like, well, how can I do the thing that I want to do? Is it present, you know, like you said, you know, independent people who are doing their own thing, and give them a platform and shine a light on them. How can I do that now without all that shit? So that's it. That's this whole kind of reverse ass process that I go through with every idea.
And I want to say too, first off, thank you so much for that shot in Catalyst, because that was beautifully done. When I checked it out, I was like, wow. And I started shooting it to my friends and family and anyone else that would look at it. I'm like, hey, check this out.
I appreciate that. That's been such a really cool thing, because I didn't advertise it. Like I didn't even tell people I know about it. I just started doing it. I put out issue one and I just, you know, I shared it on Facebook just generally.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I think we're over 50 subs now organically. Like, people that I've never heard of, people that I don't know. This is so fucking cool. Like, it just grows on its own. Like, because it's like, you know, the idea, I had the idea of like, I loved Wizard Magazine. Actually, this bottom shelf over here is all Wizard Magazine. And like, I love that shit. Like, where it's like, you got the different columns. Like, you know, the art stuff and the interviews are the funniest shit to read from like 1995. Like there's an interview, I think it was with Todd McFarlane, I think it was. And he like projected like 10 years into the future, what the comic industry would look like. And it's just fucking hilarious to read, but it's like weirdly accurate in some aspects.
Oh, I remember the casting calls from that. And I remember the X-Men casting call they had. And of course they had Patrick Stewart for
Patrick Stewart's been Professor Xavier since the 80s. I swear to God.
He was just built for that role, dude.
Although I we still got her in the MCU, but Angela Bassett for Storm was my fan cast since I started reading comics and watching the X-Men. I was like, Angela Bassett, when I saw a picture of her next to a picture of Storm, I was like, holy shit, she's perfect. And I honestly think, like, if you told a story right, she could still do it.
She has this regal form that Storm would carry. And it's like, oh man, and of course, her voice almost exactly matches the cartoon Storm.
Yeah. You know? I still think she's one of the, I never liked any of the, like Russell Crowe for Wolverine. That was always the one that like was weird to me. I was like, nah, like, I guess like, maybe if he's that little, if he like bulked up, I just, cause when they cast Hugh Jackman, and I was like 6'1", fuck out of here. Wolverine is short. It's supposed to be short, like bulky, like he's supposed to, but he did a great job. Obviously, like we loved him.
Yeah.
Wolverine. But it's like, I was like, why don't we have, like, we need a short king in there. Like, we like somebody who can just bulk the shit up.
To get him to rock that height. But yo, it was, you remember the movie Wolf with Jack Nicholson?
Oh my God, yeah. Jeez.
When I first saw him in that, my mind went straight to Wolverine. Because, and it's,
yeah,
it's,
a young Jack Nicholson all day. Yeah, dude.
When he did that, I was like, God, that's Wolverine.
All day. That's very, and he's even got that hair. He's even kind of got that wild hair. That's so true. Yeah, young Jack Nicholson. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. But we can only wish now. And you know, the rumor mill throws all kinds of horrible stuff at us. Oh, we just have to wait and see.
Right now, I'm really, really sold on Taron Egerton.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. He's a little short dude. I think if he bulks up, I'd be there for it. I was, when they said, now granted, all the other things around Kraven the Hunter notwithstanding, when they said what's his face, Aaron Taylor Johnson for Kraven, I was like, nah. But then apparently dude had already grown out this massive beard, and I saw a photo and I was like, all right, he's got the fucking look. Like, I can't even be mad anymore. Like, so it was one of those things that, like, that has happened enough times with castings where I'm like, I can't even be mad anymore ahead of time when they say someone, because I'm like, they've done it so well before. Visually, he's got Kraven, but when he started talking about Kraven's an animal lover and a protector of nature, I was like, They must not have read the comic books or watched the cartoon at all, because that's not at all who this character is.
Oh my gosh, read the source material.
Like, I don't even need it to be like super ultra comic accurate, but like, this dude has never been an anti-hero. It's okay to just make a bad guy movie. Like,
yeah,
we proved that with Joker. Joker's a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, and I can understand wanting to make them relatable, you know, it kind of makes the story a little, you know, more impactful when you can feel conflicted with the villain or whatnot. But sometimes you just need some pure evil out there, you know.
That's what I've been saying.
Something that we can throw all our power at.
Absolutely. Ever since they made everybody in the first Suicide Squad movie like super relatable, everyone had a sob story and shit. I was like, no, this isn't gonna go well, because like, I don't give a shit about any of these people. Like, I would have cared more if it was just, I have a literal gun to your head, do what I fucking say. And it'd be like, self-preservation, bitch. Okay, I will do that. I'm sorry that I killed my family, or I'm doing it for my daughter. Because like, even in the comics, yeah, Deadshot has a daughter, but like, we don't like him because of that. He's still a bastard. Yeah. it's not like it was supposed to be on his side. No, like he's still a murderer. Like, dude, that's why I like the new one definitely had some straight up bastards in it, and I was like, mm-hmm. this is like you thought about this for a second, just for a second. I still haven't watched Peacemaker because like they set him up to be a real fucking bastard in that movie. Mm-hmm. So then like I was like, ah, if he's gonna be the lead, they're gonna make him relatable, they're gonna make him soft in some way, because he was an asshole in that movie. And I was like, I don't want to watch the show because I feel like it's gonna ruin the character for me, because I really liked him just being a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad guy from his super patriotic perspective.
Like, I guess a little too much of anything could be bad, but but dude, I think that's something I touch on when I'm doing this story, and as I progress, I want to get to that absolute evil, right?
Right.
That thing that you can't bargain with, you can't pacify. It's a force of nature, and I don't know. And we see it as evil because it conflicts with everything that we want and need in life, right?
Right.
But it's all a perspective thing. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes people just like to do bad things.
and that we need to have that balance, right? We need to have that balance. Like, they made Thanos was always kind of just a force of evil in the comics. Mm. And when they made him kind of like an eco-terrorist, kind of, I was like, I mean, I guess. I actually have never read the Infinity War. It's weird because I couldn't even get myself to like fully read the original Secret War. To be fair, that was like the beginning of shenanigan books. Like, what did I call them? I forgot I don't know the term for them, but it was just like, that was just a book for sales. It was like, we're putting this out so we can put toys out about it so that we can make money. This is about money. This isn't about storytelling. Whereas like when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, that was a story they wanted to tell. So like Crisis on Infinite Earths is a far better read than the original Secret War.
So what's the Clone Saga's excuse?
Listen, I will brook no slander against Ben Reilly. Okay.
I don't care
what it took to get there. Ben Reilly is my Spider-Man. When I started reading comic books, Ben Reilly is my Spider-Man. Ben Reilly was Spider-Man in the comics when I started reading it. My first comic book ever was Amazing. I think it was 414. I'm pretty sure it was 414. The first appearance of Delilah. Fucking love how they like did her. That was like what opened up the concept of comic books to me, because it was like the way they did the text, like the lettering, that book top tier, I think above anything that I've ever read since, because the way they did her words, I heard it, you know what I mean? She was like singing certain parts, fucking beautiful. Like, love that book and that whole era. I don't care what it took to get there, all the shenanigans. I've watched whole documentaries about it. It's ridiculous.
Dude, Ben Reilly, for some reason, once they started showing like his whole outfit and seeing how he did his thing as Spider-Man, I was like, God, that looks tight. And that was always my favorite, but then it was like, oh, he's a clone. Oh, this. I'm like, so wait a second, we're gonna throw him under the bus now? You know, so I like certain characters, but then it's like, now I have to try to follow that character because they're trying to get rid of him. And for me, and this is pretty much an all-time thing, Gambit's always been my favorite, but for some reason, man, we can't land him a movie.
I like the idea. I like the idea of Channing Tatum doing it, but at the same time, I want to say he's black cosplayer on TikTok that does an incredible fucking Gambit that now I can't unsee it. And I'm like, Gambit's gotta be black. He's gotta be black and hella Cajun. Like, I can't not see it anymore. So I like, it's gotta fucking.
My thing has always been, I just want, well, my draw for Channing Tatum was the fact that he's a fan of the material, right? And I think the reason we got such a dope Deadpool is because Ryan Reynolds is a fan of the material. Absolutely. So if we can get somebody there that knows the material, loves the character, and wants to present it the way the fans want to see it, it'll be fine. But directors, they want to put their hands on stuff to leave a mark, and then their mark ruins things for the fans. I mean, the stuff's already there. The blueprint is there. Just follow the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, I'm just a writer.
It's not like you've ever written a cool story.
Well, yeah, you know me. I ideas. But
just
dude.
Just ideas.
But it's all good. I mean, I think the indie platform, dude, the movement that's happening now is incredible. I mean, with things like Instagram, TikTok, and all these other ways to get it out to the people, it's like we don't have to worry about gatekeepers anymore. You put out dope content, people will follow, and then they'll tell other people about it.
That is the absolute God's truth, because like there are so many options now. Like we are almost at a point where like I'm not going to say that it is moot, but like the representation concept is moot for like the majors. Like it doesn't matter if Marvel doesn't create any more new Black characters, because hundreds of Black creators, thousands of Black creators are creating countless new Black characters. Yeah. Better in some ways than a lot of the fucking Marvel shit. Like, it's all available. It's not the biggest fucking thing that Marvel needs to figure out that the indie space has is to fucking get it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in my hands. Put it in my fucking inbox. Like the fact that digital comics from Marvel, Disney, cost $5fucking dollars. Insane. Marvel should be putting out digital comics at $1 a pop.
Dude, I did not know that.
$1. They are cover price. Digital comics from Marvel are cover price, and that is in fucking sane.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man, because I've always been and probably always will be a physical comics guy. Only time I do digital is if I can't get it in the physical copy. And even then, I have to really want to read your stuff. So I definitely feel like the best way or the best weapon we have, of course, is word of mouth, right? And letting each other know what's out there, because Disney, Marvel, DC, they all follow a formula. So you're going to get the same types of heroes and villains every single time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am a constant person that says evolve these characters. Do not fucking stagnate them for no reason, because a lot of shit ends up just going, oh, we did this thing and it was cool, and like some people liked it, but we're just gonna push the fucking reset button. And now, you know, Peter Parker's broke again. And someone pointed this out, and someone pointed out that they need to retire Peter Parker and have Miles become the Spider-Man. And I was like, at first I was like, why can't they coexist? Right. That was my initial thought. But then as I thought about it, I was like, the only way they coexist is if they keep Peter Parker broke on his own, not in a stable relationship. And I am team make Peter Parker married again all day. Like, I liked him married. That's how I first started reading him. When I was reading him, they were about to have a baby. Like,
that's the growth that he should be experiencing, right?
Right. But you keep resetting him. Like,
yeah.
Boring. Fucking boring.
Hey, he's getting too happy. Let's do something to get it back on his face.
Exactly.
Because that's what makes it easy to write. And I don't want to say they have lazy writers, but yeah, if you want an easy story, keep him broken flat on his face, but keep him be the Boy Scout, you know, keep him the underdog so we can keep rooting for him. I'm like, dude, I don't know anybody who would constantly do that and not feel like, you know, he has breaks every now and again, right? When he's like, you know, oh, you come after my friends and I'm going to do bad things to you. But there's other times where I'm just like, dude, don't you get tired of losing? I don't. Yeah, you might save the world every other weekend, but you can't keep a girl. Your job sucks. I'm like, come on,
that's
man.
Why I like Dan Slott's run. I really, really like Dan Slott's run. Peter mm-hmm. at first, he got a good job at a good company. He was able to do science shit, which he was always a scientist. Like, yep. All the shit, I was like, oh my God, it's moving forward. We are progressing this fucking character. Sure, it was without Mary Jane, but whatever. I'll take that sacrifice if we can progress this guy into adulthood. That's all I'm asking. Make this guy be a grown-up. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I kind of came up with this, between those two different conversations, that's where I kind of came up with this mentality that I want to like flesh out into like a cohesive statement, but I also kind of on the other hand want to just do it as a hot take and just post a TikTok and say, if you want Peter Parker to stay single and broke, you might be racist. like I just kind of want to say it as a hot take and then move on, because it's like, if he doesn't progress in his story, Miles is never going to progress in his story.
True. He's always going to be the other Spider-Man.
I mean hell, that's literally, I can't guess as to motivation, but basically that's what I'm seeing right now. That's why they gave him this, like, right, I don't know if you're current on Miles Morales stuff, but like, he's got this, like, you know, big ass clone of him. They've kind of built up his own little clone saga, and now he's traveling interdimensionally separately. So like, he's not even in 616 right now. Why? Yeah. Because it's hard to maintain two spider people in the same world.
Not only that, it minimizes the company's risk. You see, I mean, it doesn't, by having him be off to the side doing his own thing, you don't risk upsetting the Spider-Man naturalists, you know? And that's, I mean, they bullshit. Don't want to do anything that's risky. Back in the 80s, dude, and this is me dating myself, but back in the 80s, they were quick to take risks. They had freaking flammable toys. They had, like, full metal transformers. I mean, lawn darts. That was a little before my time, but do you know what lawn darts are? Those things put people in hospitals.
Yep.
People were willing to take risks to find out what's new, what people like. And now it's like, okay, people like this. Let's do this, but put sprinkles on it. All right, let's start over. Let's do this, but make it green. I'm like, guys, we're tired of seeing this. The people with the money, not the kids, the people with the money have seen this before. Right. Give us something new.
Right.
So,
it's the same thing that happens in the X-Men. And that's why I really hope that they don't do that this time around. But it's like, every time they build up the X-Men, like, oh, here's a bunch of cool, you got a bunch of cool tech, you got a bunch of cool shit. And mm-hmm. It was like, we built up this great X-Men team. Then they're dead and have to live out of a fucking shack in Australia. And then we like cross the world and cross the galaxy. We bring them back together. They're in the mansion, top of their fucking Shi'ar tech, holodeck and shit. Operation Zero Tolerance literally scrubs the fucking house down to antiseptic nothing. Literally, that's the sentence from the fucking comic, antiseptic nothing. So then it's like, oh, we literally had to dig up the old Blackbird from underneath the fucking lake so we could get places. Like, we had to ship in a computer from fucking Muir Island. And I was like, all right, fine. All right, they're back to basics. I like that. That's a good era, right? But then we built it back up. Big ass team, lots of tech. And then it was like, fucking Magneto gets his own country, and then we gotta reset, and Wolverine is now deaf, works for Apocalypse, you know, like all this other shit. Was like, we gotta ruin it somehow because we gotta put these people back in their place. And I'm like, can we just let them get big? So when I started reading the Krakoan era right now, it's like, they got everything. They got their own fucking country. They built a fucking planet. I'm in. I'm so far in, dude. I'm so far in. And it's like, they made Magneto a good dude. And it was always like, there was always fans of Magneto and always saw the good in him. Mm-hmm. And they tried to make him like viciously evil a few times. And every time somebody managed a way to, you know, bring him back. And I was like, can we just keep him here? Can we just keep, like, yeah. Is he capable of hardcore shit? Yes. But we also need to be able to accept good people who can do hardcore shit.
Yeah.
Because like in reality, you know, there was that, I don't know if you've seen this, but there was a dude who killed his girlfriend and her kid. Uh-huh. And he's at trial and the kid's dad just jumps this dude, just starts wailing on him. And they had to pull him off, you know, and they're charging him with stuff. But it's like, yeah, that dude's probably a good dude, but he killed his kid. Like,
yeah,
I'm with that dude. He's right. Yeah, I know he's in jail. Yeah. I know it was assault, but he's right. You know, yeah, like,
I think it was, and it was Quark. I think it was Quark that said this. I think it's Deep Space Nine. I was in Voyager. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, yeah, these humans, man, they're pretty good people, but you know, take away some resources, take away a few of those creature comforts, mm-hmm. and they'll eat each other, right? And that set real heavy with me because I was like, I consider myself to be a pretty good dude, but I'm like, okay, it takes a lot to push me towards that darkness, and I've been there, man, but I don't like being there because of what I can do and what I'm capable of. And that's when I got to thinking, like, dude, if the right thing happened right now, I would be in jail or dead because somebody would push me to that point. That's why I keep my buttons hidden. I don't like people knowing my buttons.
And that's good, man. That's good because that means you're in control of the whole situation, right? It's something where I think it was a Batman movie or something. They said, like, yeah, I think it was the Dark Knight. So you're one bad day away from being me.
Yep.
Joker says that to Batman. He says, you're one bad day away from being me. And it's not necessarily true in the way he meant it, but like we look at like people who have done crime and people who have, you know, killed people in various situations. And we look at them like as a society, we look at them as, oh, they're like bad people. But it's like I have said many times, I will end all of them out there to protect me and mine.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And like that is my motto. Like I will end you and yours to protect me and mine because that is my, you know, line. Like my people is my people.
Mm-hmm.
So like I heard some shit and I was like, look, I was with you last night. Like, and they're like, no, it's not like that. I'm like, are you sure? Because I'm going to leave my phone here. Like,
dude, it's so real. I mean, that's the thing that people, I think, need to connect with. I mean, granted, that aspect of villainy, I can understand wanting to kind of portray.
Right.
Right. But only as a means of showing you that mirror.
Yeah.
Because as high and mighty and as innocent as some people would claim to be, that is there and it's waiting. The more you suppress it, the more potent it becomes. So I'm like, and I'm not saying you need to go out and kick a puppy every now and again, but come on now, you gotta feed it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think that's a lot of why right now people are really like idolizing, and I fucking hate saying it that way, but they're idolizing fucking Homelander on Boys and was it Omni-Man on Invincible. Like they're like, oh, that's how, because like people are saying, oh, that's how people would really be if they had Superman powers. I'm like, that's how bad people would really
that's
be.
How assholes would be.
Like you know? You are a bad person. Yeah, like we have seen many examples where Superman, who is a good dude, like to the core, a good person. Like I think they actually handled it the best on Superman and Lois, the current series, season one. There's a thing where Sam Lane, as he fucking does in like all media, Sam Lane is like, yeah, you know, putting some, like, we got a kryptonite room, okay, we got a room full of kryptonite weapons. Some shit's gonna happen, like if some shit happens, right? And he fights this dude. And like shows you the dark like edge, shows it. But then he's like, "But I am not that dude."
That's right.
Pulls back, and I'm like, "That is the difference between Homelander and Superman. Like, mm-hmm. Homelander doesn't see that line. He just goes.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit. If he ever has an altruistic thought, it's all within self-service, and it's like, oh, I can beat up this person, therefore I will. It's not about, oh, I'm going to save these people. It's like, I'm just going to prove that I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And it's apparently now in season 3, motherfuckers are out here like, I didn't realize he was a bad guy. And I'm like, have you been watching the fucking show?
You're not going to see it if you don't want to see it.
Right. That's the problem we have in our society, is we have people idolizing the wrong kind of people. And that's, I think, to kind of spin back to what we were saying earlier, when you have all the villains in everything have mm-hmm. some sort of relatable tale, then when you show truly evil people like that, that's just a little skip for people. That's a little mm-hmm. hop. Oh, well, you know, there's reasons. He's got a bad childhood, right? He was raised weird. So like, that's why he's weird. So that's why he's not like a regular dude. And no, he's just a piece of shit. Like,
dude, it's easy to try to make excuses until something happens to you, mm-hmm. right? That's why it's high school mentality. Everybody likes to hang around mm-hmm. the bully and hang around the mean girl because they don't want to be the victim of those people.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's, anyway. Seen it before.
Right. It's not new. It's not new is what you're saying. It's not new. It's not new, and we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it in real life. We're seeing it, you know, it's a lack of wanting to keep powerful people accountable. It's mm-hmm. like saying, oh, well, it's everyone who says, oh, well, you know, if you were a senator, you'd take payouts too.
Mm-hmm.
The same argument, the same exact argument. You're in a position of power. You will do what is best for yourself, period. Like, well, no, if you're a bad person, you do that.
It's sad, but it's human. That's the thing. And once we accept the fact that we're all flawed, it'll make it a little easier to swallow that pill, because it's like, okay, yeah, I understand. But, you know, if we can start from a place of understanding, mm-hmm. that but won't be so drastic. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But I think that's one of the biggest flaws we have in our society right now is a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is the people who live, like, you know, south side of Chicago over here versus the people who live 50, 60, 70 miles out west, they don't know what each other needs. People who live middle of the fucking city don't know what the south side needs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then we just let the politicians come in and decide, oh, well, what we need here is this and what we need here is that. And then the people who don't want to try, right? The armchair activists are mm-hmm. just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, let's back that, right? That sounds like the right thing. They don't want to actually think about any of the things that people need and what is needed in different places. And so they just back the politician, regardless of if the politician is literally one block over where that whole plan won't work.
Yep. Like, I hoped that, well, and this is something that can still happen, but I was hoping that these types of platforms that we have would open dialogues, would allow people to actually have these kinds of conversations, not continue the echo chamber, which happens to be what's happening, but these types of things should be open to where, okay, look, I just want to understand your point of view. And if I can't understand it, then maybe you can explain it to me in a different way so that we can find some common ground to grow from. As it stands now, we're too busy jumping at each other's throats for knee-jerk reactions to things that we've only heard about. Nobody's even done a lot of the research. They're like, he said, what? Oh man, that's crazy. I'm gonna go do this now. I'm like, dude, did you read it? Did you actually go there? Do you know what's actually happening? Or are you just taking this guy's word for it because he's got a nice suit? So now, hearsay is the news. Actual news is fake news.
Yep.
And opinionated news is law. I don't get it, but it all starts in the home. My kids are being taught to think and ask questions.
Absolutely. I think one of the most underused questions in discourse right now is why.
Yes.
Why? Like, whatever you're saying, why do you think that? Why does it need to be this way? Why do you think X person needs to behave this way or X person needs to live this way? You know, because if we run it back and it's personal, mm-hmm. or it's belief based, right? This is your religion. I don't want to live by your religion. I'm a non-religious mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. Like if we want to go down that route, I was raised Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We could have conversations based on faith at that point, but we mm-hmm. I don't want to have those conversations. But I also don't want to have conversations based on XYZ person's faith and them deciding how I want to live.
Yeah.
So I've
learned to avoid conversations on race and politics, because on the things that would fix or grow those things is like unity. But they are two of the most divisive
incredibly
on the planet. So I'm incredibly. Like, as soon as somebody starts talking, and I'm like, I like waffles. You like waffles?
Yeah. And it's kind of right. You kind of have to, right? I actually just heard a friend of mine, two of my friends basically got into a debate about a very hot button topic of mm-hmm. the current times. And it literally ended in tears. Because it was a birthday party.
No, no.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta call it at some point. At some point, you gotta be like, maybe not here, maybe not today.
Yeah.
You know? But like, you have places that are like that present to be this open forum, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use him as an example because I think there is many flaws with his platform, but Joe mm-hmm. Rogan like started that concept, right? I'm just gonna bring on whoever, and I'm gonna hear them out.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is he has no filter. He has no buffer to be mm-hmm. like, all right, you are just wilding. I'm gonna need you not. Or at the very, you know what I mean, like have the conversation.
He doesn't have a problem.
And then like, be like, this one's not going up because this is a little too wild. Like just have that filter after the fact. You know, like sit down, have the conversation,
Howard Stern
something
kind of thing.
That's kind of what it's turned into. That's kind of what it's turned into, right? It's just he says some wild shit to kind of, because he just kind of mirrors people. Like I actually at this point, mm-hmm. I've seen, let's say, if I've seen maybe 20 episodes, that might be too many. Like I haven't seen that many Joe Rogan episodes. But at this point, with everything he said and all this kind of like he does some shit and says some shit on the show and then he backtracks on Instagram, I don't know what this dude believes. It's kind of hard to tell because he just kind of mirrors the people he's on a call with or in the room with. He just kind of lets them go and then he like buys into it. You know, he's as interested. Like this person's talking about, you know, fucking what's his face? I literally can't listen to him for more than 5 minutes. Alex Jones. They were talking about some fucking Chinese or cloning gay frogs or some shit. And I was like, I fucking can't. I pieced out of that whole fucking. I was like, I cannot.
Sometimes I feel like he's just trying to see how far ridiculous he can go.
I swear. He just, a lot of the times that he talks, it just feels like he just pulled a bunch of words out of a fucking hat. And he's like, how can I smash these together?
The sci-fi original movie wheel, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I try to give everyone a chance and like listen to their whole thing. But him, I have never been able to, like, I've given it three solid attempts on two different platforms. And I was like, I fucking can't, dude. Cause the third time I was like, okay, but he's like a little calmer. That's the one that ran 5 minutes. It was like the first 4 minutes. I was like, all right. He's admitting that he kind of like was a little wild last time. All right. And then he just said I can't even remember what it was, but it was just like even wilder shit. And I was like, I can't do it. So I was like, those platforms, like these people who have these reaches. I mean, we saw it on TikTok recently. People who have these massive platforms behave in a type of way that is not congruent to discourse. It's not mm-hmm. congruent to polite behavior in public. You know, I don't want to call necessarily any name out, but like there is a pretty popular comic book TikToker. Got an interview with a star of a major film. There was a touch. It was, look, if you watch it, it seems innocent, but I'm very much of the mindset of keep your fucking hands to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So like, regardless of the intention, don't fucking touch people. Like, that's a weird, you know, it's a strange, you know, it's an uncomfortable as a viewer. I wasn't even there. I didn't like it. And then that same creator said some shit about Ms. Marvel recently and was like, oh, this is kind of like mid. I was like, no, don't do that. It's because at that point, I think it was one episode. I was like, you can't say mid off one episode.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say shit off one episode. You can say what that episode was. You can't say the whole show is bad. Like, there is episode 3. I don't know if you're caught up, but like, there is a pretty fucking problematic plot point in episode 3. Like, I'll admit to it. It's
rough. Yeah, I saw your video about it. You say like, we're gonna see where it goes.
It's rough. Like, I admit, I get it. I get why people felt the way they felt. Like, I saw a bunch of people, specifically a bunch of South Asian people, that were like, I don't know if I'm rocking with the show anymore. Some people flat out said, like, I'm not watching the rest of it. So I was like, I feel that, I understand it, but we also don't know the whole story yet. So it's like,
a lot of the stuff that's coming out now, I feel, are products of the time.
Yeah.
Versus trying to push new narratives, right? I mean, if like with Marvel, a lot of the new Black characters are Black versions of these other characters, or same thing with DC. And I don't think any of that would have happened if Black Lives Matter hadn't become such a big thing. And then there's a lot of characters that are, oh, this character is gay now, or this character is bi, and this stuff. I'm like, okay, I think that would have been more effective before all this stuff started becoming a thing. So now it's like, you're just now doing a money grab by pushing quote representation, which is sad because you're monetizing off of something that is supposed to be bettering our environment, our culture, our people, but all you see is dollar signs. And that's why, and I'm pretty sure you've seen a little bit of the uproar about the Miles Morales Thor What If.
Here's the thing. I'm from the 90s, so like, a lot of the shit he said, I knew people who talk like that.
Well, that's
so like, true, to a point, I was like, all right. But then like, it was one of those things, like when I went through the story, I was like, all right, not my favorite. Like, this is kind of a lot of everything. But I was kind of like, all right, I get it. It's a type of story. And then when people just kind of were like, look at this, and this at the same time. And I was like, yeah. Like, you can't, like, I actually think, and I might be in the minority here, but I actually think that by Odin's fade, hard fucking, that's bars. Bars. By Odin's fade, bars.
I think.
But then you can't give me a bald Odin. You just can't. You got those two things have to match. You gotta get, you know, I was expecting Odin to have a nice high top fade, but then he had nothing. And I was like, that's weird.
Look, if there was a pinch here and a pinch there, I could get it. But it seems like they just had a round circle and said, okay, give me black stuff. And they just started, okay, notes, threw it all in there.
It very much feels like it was written somebody who is completely out of touch with the culture. And he so much admitted to it, right? He wrote a whole apology. And that's why, like, for me personally, when I write characters who I don't have the lived experience of, I am very careful with the way I write them. Like, I don't know. Like, one of the characters in my novella is a Black woman who is a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I am a business owner, so I could speak from that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going into anything that I don't know, that I don't have, or I don't have a direct resource for.
Right.
That's it.
And I think that's where people have been tripping up, because when I have a lot of different characters in the story, and I try to write from the perspective of the experiences that I've had with people like that, or from my own perspective.
Right.
That way I can keep it genuine and keep it authentic. Absolutely. And not be like, oh, I made that up, so it's okay. No, I want it to be something that is grounded somewhere to where it can grow into what this character has become. But if for some reason I need to reach way out and say I'm going to write about this Native American character, you best believe I'm going to find some Native American people and be like, look, I want to do this right, guys. You know, because the last thing you want to do is misrepresent somebody. It right. becomes big, and next thing you know, people are thinking that that's, you know, the facts. And I'm like, we can control our narratives as indie creators, and that's great, right? But just still should be held to the same standards of respecting the peoples that you include in your story.
Absolutely. Right?
So I think we walk a tightrope when we do something like that. But I think as creators, we need to still challenge ourselves in that way. I think it's important that, you know, it's just like actors, right? In a lot of cases, I'm like, yeah, we need to have a big white guy as Kingpin. But I think Claude Duncan did Kingpin.
Oh, man. Michael Clark Duncan.
There you go. And I was like,
he killed that role.
I know, right?
He killed that. I am not I don't have like the parasocial kind of shit with a lot of celebrity people. There have been very few people that have died that I've been like, oh man, like genuinely felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
That dude has some serious range.
He was an incredible actor. There's no question. There's not a single person out there that could even say a bad word about any piece of work he put out.
Yeah, he was great, man. and the fact that he was able to pull off that character so well, right? I'm like, he did the role regardless of what the source material presented him as, and still you got Kingpin. That is dope, right? And when you do something like that in your works, I mean, if you were to swap those things up, you should still be able to get the good story, right?
Right.
But as a creator, as an indie creator, and you want to keep the narrative a certain way, like in for Between Magic and Dreams, Quinn is black because I would like to normalize the fact that a hero is a hero, right? No one saw the meteor coming down and got mad because Bruce Willis was a white guy going to save him, right? But if it was, you know, Michael Claude Duncan instead saving the world, would there have been raised eyebrows? I'm like, look, I personally don't care what you look like. Save the world.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Please save my ass. I can't do it. I don't have any opinions on your appearance.
Yes, exactly.
You do in your private life. If you are out here saving my ass, thank you for saving my ass.
Exactly, dude. And that's why I wanted Quinn to be black, because a lot of kids, I know for myself, I never saw that coming up. I always figured, man, I guess we need another white dude to come save us, you know, because in all the movies, all the comics, everybody was like shiny. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but does that mean I can't do it? And later, it wasn't until like, you know, early teens, I'm like, wait a second. All I have to do is write it. All I have to do is be it. And it changed everything. And next thing you know, now I'm an adult. I want to write the story where Joe Everyday happens to be a black guy. I want to be the guy that puts the story out with the sword wielding, you know, college student who's fighting to save us, you know, and it's dope because people see it. I've been hearing stuff like, yo, man, there's going to be a lot of kids being born named Quinn.
Like, that's cool, though. That's so cool. Can I tell you, the first time I meet someone whose name is Quinn or who has a child named Quinn, I'll be like, I know where that came from. I was there early.
Dude, I'll tell you though, it feels so good just to know that people actually get it. And by the third book, pretty much everything will be revealed. I have some side stuff that is going on that also expounds on those side characters. Because, you know, in most stories, you have like static characters, right? But instead of having them show up, do their thing, and vanish into the void, I would love to expound on those characters, let you know their motivations and their stories, because everyone has a story, right? Our lives cross, and in that intersection, we can affect each other's stories, either positively or negatively, and then we go off and finish our own adventures. These guys are going to have their stories told on YouTube, right? I got these guys, you know, much cooler voices than mine. I've got artists, you know, working on the actual background images.
That's awesome.
I want to do at least 5 of these. I got one out now. I got another one in the works. And the cool thing about it is it tells stories that are vastly different, right? And in doing so, you get that variety, which is the world, right? You got your presidents, and then you got your paupers. You got, you know, your mathematicians, and then you got your elementary school teachers. But we all breathe, we all eat. It's just the choices that we make have us living vastly different lives, but yet somehow they touch and we vastly can affect each other. So I'm like, let's tell what this guy was going through before he reached the point where he's in Quinn's story and before he leaves again.
I love that. I love that.
So I've got 5 of those planned. The Chromies is the first one I actually have up. It's 5 chapters long. It's short. The next one's going to be longer because there's a little more meat to them. But it's a lot of freaking fun, man. And I need to get some feminine energy in there. So if there's anyone listening and you have a decent voice for a read, I would love to put you to work. Just hit me up on my website, BetweenMagicAndDreams.com, and we can start a conversation, because it's not just dudes doing stuff out here.
As it should be. Variety is the spice of life, right?
Yes.
Like there's no valuable group of friends that is one type of person.
Yeah, because if it is, yeah, something's wrong with you.
There's something else going on there. Something else going on there.
Those ulterior motives.
Right.
But
that's so fantastic. I love that. I've seen similar plot devices and I've always loved them. I forget what it was. Part of it, 2050Z in some fashion has similar things to sort of. You kind of see where people are and you kind of follow people on different branches. So I appreciate that. I'm a lore dude. Like I love the wide, right? You're going deep in the main novel and then you're going to go wide with the YouTubes. I love it. Man, I can't wait. That's so cool. I can't wait to see those. Well, if you need any assistance on the YouTube end, I've been doing YouTube for a long, long time, over almost a decade now.
So, oh, wow.
So yeah, I got the main channel is a little tech, all the lighting and stuff. That's what I talk about. The cheap lighting and cheap sound stuff and yeah, that kind of shit. But yeah, I'm happy to assist in any way I can. I'm so excited for that. That's super cool. You're on your way to finish the trilogy here, and then you've got the branch. Now, if you pick one side of the branch, are you going to come back to the other side after the trilogy?
Oh, man. So the possibility is there, right? Because by the end of this trilogy, there's a lot of possibilities. But the only thing I could tell you for sure is that I won't be following Quinn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The window into Quinn's story ends with the third chapter, the third
all
book.
All right. See, I appreciate that.
But imagine this, and this is something that's mentioned in the second book, but as he's doing this thing, somebody mentions to him that There's a lot of fights going on all around you, right?
Ah.
And that's when he realizes that, all right, this is what he's doing, right? But when the winds of change hits, it hits suddenly. So when people come, start showing back up, they don't just show up and say, hey, it's a clean slate. They bring their issues with them.
Sure.
So whatever they might have had going then, they can still finish now. And they are going to continue trying to do what it is that they would
do. And we saw that at the I want to do a little spoiler warning right now for the first book. But we saw that at the end when he's like, release me. And I was like, oh shit, this is what we, because like the whole time I'm like, something going on with him. Something, he's not just a disciple, he's not just his squire. Something going on with him, and he was like, release me. Only I can fight her because she's my sister. I was like, oh shit! Like, I was like, this is so fucking dope. Because then it was like, then my mind just started working. I'm like, wait. So like, then I'm thinking back through the whole story. I was like, were there more hints? Like, what, dude? That was such a great reveal because it was just the slightest little like. Little sprinkle of a fucking trail for you to be like, something else going on with him, but like, we don't know yet. But it was like, something else really going on with him, but we don't. And then when it hit, I was like, that's fucking dope.
Dude, he's like one of my favorite characters, mainly because he has all this juice, but he can't do anything with it, you know? And that then when he finally got cut loose, man, there's so much more to that. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
I love the fact that I'm excited to write this stuff, man.
But that's the best part. That's the best part. Cause then you know you're going in it with a great mindset. You're not like, it's not a chore. It's not like, all right, well, I said I'm gonna make another one. I guess I'll make another one. It's you wanna get to the end of this, you wanna get to the next chapter of this, and you're gonna just bring us along. Like, it's not, it's less about producing a book for us. You just want to tell this story.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where I've been at. And when I got into editing, I don't know how it was for you. When I got into editing, I had a lot of wind taken out of my sails because I was like, oh shit. Like, I didn't think about that. And like, we kind of have to rework a little bit, kind of got to pad it up a little bit, you know, but it's still one of those things where, When I first finished and I was like, dope, like now my mind went on to the next thing. And it wasn't like, you know, I hadn't even shown it to anyone yet, but I was like, it's what I want to tell more. I've got more things to tell. And that's, I love hearing that. I love hearing that you've still got that energy going towards that next segment of this. You said a couple months, I'm gonna be on that Audible app just waiting for it to drop.
Oh, dude, you got maybe a month. Maybe a month.
I'm looking for it. And I'm looking for it.
This, the fact that I can use so many different mediums to tell the different parts of the story is also super exciting to me. You know, because
Ooh, yes. You brought it together for me. I didn't even have to do anything. Oh yes.
Yeah, dude. Yes. I am going to be doing that very soon. It's been very hard keeping it under wraps, but next month, dude. First one.
So for those who are listening and not watching, I think you are missing out if you are just listening. We just got a preview of the first image from a comic book set within the universe. Is it a straight adaptation or is it just set within the universe?
Oh no. So this takes place between the second and third novel.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
Along the character that will be introduced in the hidden chapters on YouTube.
I love it. I love everything about what you said. I love. Oh my God. This is this is when I first thought of there. Like, I've got this whole comic book thing that I'm working on. This is exactly what I envisioned. Like, this multifaceted bits here. Like, you know, this one's prose. The first six chapters are a comic. Like, it's all different mediums. And that's what I think the indie space has done a great job of, is embrace variety of mediums. I think that's, I love seeing this. Thank you so much for sharing that. So excited.
No problem, man. And I want to make sure you get one of these prints. This is only 12. Yeah, man.
Oh, look, man, I appreciate that.
Not only have you been like a great supporter, but you know, you love the work and you've been talking it up. And I'm like, every time I see that video, I'm like, dude, he not only dug it, he's got it in the background. He's like really letting the world know about Between Magic and Dreams. And you can't pay for that kind of support, dude. And I want to reward anybody that puts it out there like that. You've been putting in work for me and I love you for it, man. So
I appreciate it greatly. We're about to get cut off here in a second. Man, that the timing yeah. was wild.
Perfect though.
As I did get interrupted by this software, I'm gonna have to switch platforms now because they charge $15 a month for this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
See, taking advantage of the situation, man.
That's exactly right. But I just want to say thank you for sharing that, for sharing your plans for the universe, and for joining us here on Panels on Pages today. Give us the broad overview. Where can people find you on the internet?
All right. So first and foremost, you can find me on my website, which is betweenmagicanddreams.com. You will also see me on Instagram at Between Magic and Dreams, and on Facebook as well, Between Magic and Dreams. If you would like to shoot me an email, I always respond. And that would be at betweenmagicanddreams@yahoo.com. And of course, on YouTube, where you will find the hidden chapters and music, original music that Cyril has built a playlist around. So find Cyril's playlist, which is still growing,
okay,
on YouTube as well.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so hyped for... Dude. I don't even have words. If you are not in this universe, you need to be. Absolutely. Check out the book. It's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. Is it on anything besides Amazon?
You can actually get it on my website. Signed copies I will do on my website.
There
so
you go.
Any copy built bought on the website, I send out personally. So I'm like, why not sign those? And you can also see it on blacksandsentertainment.com.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
Diversify.
That's right, man. Get it out there and get it to the people however I can.
Absolutely, as it should. Thank you again for joining us, and thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for watching. We'll see you in the next one.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Try to tell you all the time, you ain't tell me first. I'ma kill the game with a multiverse. You gotta hold me first. Yeah, but I've been a dick. Never got my credit, now they dipping for the end of it. I'm about to benefit. Way up.